Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Will you go to heaven when you die? This question has been asked in many a sermon, invitations, and gospel tracts over the recent decades. Today's sermon is entitled, "Where Are the Deceased Saints?" Let me elaborate on that point. Where are the deceased saints today? Where do born-again believers go when they die? You may be saying to yourself, well, that is an easy answer. They are in heaven with Jesus. My response to you is that really true? And can you support that with Scripture? What you will learn from this sermon is absolutely profound and rarely preached on in the 20th and 21st century. However, this doctrinal position was clearly articulated upon by the preachers of old. I will launch this sermon series by looking at a very obscure verse of Scripture that is nestled in a familiar chapter with two very familiar passages of Scripture. The two passages that are well understood and preached upon frequently are John 3:16 and John 3:3, where Jesus is addressing Nicodemus, an honorable Pharisee who was sincerely seeking understanding and recognized that Jesus was a teacher come from God. John 3:16 is, of course, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But the passage that my sermon is centered upon is John 3:13. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Let me say that again. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." As a scientist would do, let us ask ourselves some questions. Is this a true statement? If no, was it ever true? Was it true when Jesus said it? Was it true when John penned it? When was this statement true, if ever? And what event in the New Testament and what passage overturned and negated this verse of Scripture? Almost sounds as if the cancel culture was being exercised 2,000 years ago, or maybe just 100 years ago. Another passage to focus on is Psalm 115, verse 16. "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men." This is not only true in life, but in death and in resurrection. Are you aware that there are three heavens? Paul reveals this very fact in his second epistle to the Corinthians. Enjoy the journey through the Scriptures as I join many passages together that answer these many questions and which emphasizes the conclusion. Please excuse some of the sound quality issues we are experiencing, which is a result of our recording equipment during our services. These problems hopefully will be resolved shortly. I greatly appreciate our program producer, Jeremy, here at Freedom 95, for his fabulous work on editing these sermons and splitting them up into 30-minute episodes. Recording and editing requires a tremendous amount of expertise to make this 30-minute radio program happen each week. Many kudos to my congregation, producer Jeremy, and Freedom 95 for their vast vision in support of religious liberty and liberty of conscience that was near and dear to the preachers that graced the pulpits during the founding of our great Christian Republic. And many thanks to you, my listening audience, for your faithfulness and appreciation. Where are the deceased saints? Part 2. When does Christ reign over his kingdom? At his coming, when his throne is established on this present earth, and that is when his saints will reign with him. The kingdom he will inherit is not in heaven. The kingdom he will inherit is not in kingdom. Look at these passages. Matthew 5:5. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." You know, before I understood the kingdom teaching, I was like, what is this? What is this talking about? We're going to inherit the earth. I want to be in heaven. I want to be in heaven. And then when I started understanding the kingdom, I started learning more about this. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Our Lord is the meekest man ever to live. Thus, rightly so, he will inherit the earth, and all the earthly kingdoms will coalesce into his kingdom. It says in Revelation 11:15, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So that's a future event. And the saints will be joint heirs with him, and we learn that in Romans 8. Verse 17, "The saints will be joint heirs, those who live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit." It says in Revelation 26, Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. And they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we will be joint heirs and reigning. We will be kings and priests, the book of Revelation says. Jesus' inheritance is yet future, though he is resurrected. Jesus' inheritance is yet future, though he is resurrected. Bible says here, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Now that is a prophetic statement. It's not actual. It's not taking place in Zion right now. He will set his king upon his holy hill of Zion. It's as if it's done already. It's going to happen. It's not if, but it is as if it already happened. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I gotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of heaven for thy possession. Did I read that right? No, what does it say? Earth. The uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. The uttermost part. And the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdom of our God. The day of Pentecost occurred 10 days after Jesus ascended into the clouds. Note what Peter says when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Means David still sleeps in Jesus to this day. Jesus is still asleep. He's not resurrected. Therefore, being a prophet, that God, and David is considered a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He seeing this, means David seeing this, and this is from Psalm 110, quoted from 110. Peter is quoting this. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Okay, that's the all those who were in the upper room, they saw and witnessed Jesus in the resurrected, glorified body. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. That's what Peter is saying. This excitement, this power of the Holy Spirit. Where were they before the Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit? They were hiding out in a room. But man, when that Holy Spirit descended on them, they had power. Power. That's what gives us power. That is the power for the saints. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, we would be shut down. We would not be open today. Oh, there's a second wave of COVID coming about. We better bury ourselves in our bedrooms under our blankets and sheets and our pillows and hide. No, we're bold. For David is not ascended into the heavens. He has not resurrected. That's important right there, that passage. For David is not ascended into heavens. Now I'm going to bring this out more here. He has not resurrected. Wait a minute. Jesus ascended 10 days earlier. Didn't David go with him? Didn't David go with him? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, for David has not ascended into the heavens. He has not resurrected. That means, did anybody else get ascended? Is anybody ascending today to heaven? But he saith himself, the Lord, God the Father, said unto my Lord, God the Son, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Amen. David's soul and his glorified body has not ascended into heaven, even though Jesus has ascended into the third heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. Thus, David's Psalm 110 is strictly messianic, means talking about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. This declaration by Peter above confirms that the following words of Jesus is just as true today as it was when Jesus said it. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. That's a powerful verse. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We all know John 3:3, for unless ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God. But how many preachers preach on this verse? No man hath ascended up to heaven. So the question is, and you need to ponder this and ask people, ask preachers, this passage, is this passage a true passage? Is this a true passage? Or was it true at one time and not true now? So I put that to my students in Wisdom Building. That was their Christmas gift. No man hath ascended. I said, is that a true statement? Is that a true statement? It's in the Bible. Does it have a termination point? No. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. That's the third heaven. You don't hear too much of that at funerals, do you, Jen? Job conveys a very important truth to us, that only in his resurrected, glorified body does he see the Lord and no sooner. So like David, he has not yet ascended because the rapture has not transpired. This little phrase by Job is powerful, packed with truth. And though after my skin, worms destroy this body. When you go to the grave and your body is in a coffin, what happens to that body even though they embalm it? It deteriorates and decays and putrefies and the juices start flowing out of that coffin and into the soil. And you open up your coffin after 100 years and you think you'll be mummified? No. You'll be barely a bone left. Yet, in my flesh shall I see God. Amen. Job, the oldest book in the Bible. Job was he was an associate. He was he lived during the time of Abraham, and this book is that old. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Only in his flesh, not in his soul, but in his flesh. That's important. Body, in his glorified body shall he see God. You see how God is a perfect wordsmith.
He perfectly aligns those words, and so much is packed just in that second half of that phrase. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. The resurrection of all deceased believers and the living saints will only happen when Jesus Christ descends to the cloud. We learn this in the rapture chapter in 1 Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Okay? Those which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, for this we say. See, they were concerned. They were saying, people are dying and Jesus not coming back, hadn't come back yet. Is he only going to come back for those who are alive? And what Paul is helping them overcome their fear and their ignorance in this matter, he's saying, no, those who sleep in Jesus, he will bring them with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, the important point, the coming of the Lord, that's another crucial doctrine of the Bible. That's a cardinal doctrine of Scripture. The coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The dead in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend, only Jesus descends, from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall, what? Rise. First, rise. Rise. Key point, that's one of the headers on as we further go. Resurrection talks, everything talks about rising up, raising up, upward, up, up, up. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then and only then, in the clouds. And I've taught before that God has a pavilion. You go to the Old Testament, there's going to be a pavilion. That's where he's going to hold court. God, the Lord Jesus has a circuit court. He's on a throne in the third heaven. He's on a throne in the clouds. And then he's going to be on a throne here on earth. So it's sort of a circuit court. And there's a pavilion that he's going to set up, and that's where the judgment seat of Christ will occur at the rapture. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's when Job will see him. That's when David will resurrect. And we in the New Testament will resurrect. The mansion that Jesus is preparing in heaven will only be seen when he returns to the earth. This mansion is the eternal city, the new Jerusalem that descends from the third heaven. Only in resurrected, glorified bodies are the saints able to see it and enter it when it first hovers above the earth. And this is powerful. Let me point out before I go any further. There is no description of the third heaven. There is no description of the third heaven, except that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. But there's a description of the heavenly city that's going to come down, the mansion that Jesus is building. You have that description, but that's not the description of the third heaven. The saints will never see it until his return. It says here in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, this isn't key. I will come again. There it is. There's the second coming right there. Crucial. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So the kingdom is being built by the Lord Jesus, the son of a carpenter. He's building this heavenly city. But that's not heaven. That's the heavenly city that's coming down from God, a mansion that God's building. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So first he has to come again, and then he receives us. Does that make sense? That's what it says. I will come again and receive you unto myself. It's not when you die and lay in the coffin in a funeral home, I will receive you. No, when I come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The saints are only received by Christ upon his return. There is no charge of intentionally misleading on the part of those Bible teachers who assume that the Christian enters into his final glory at death. Eschatological means end times, dealing with end times, eschatology. Eschatological teaching would be greatly simplified if we were able to take that for granted. Assuming that to be the final statement of truth, then it would disqualify several important Christian doctrines. The second advent of our Lord would be one of them. Why should it be necessary for him to come again and receive you unto myself? If his people go to him in a final sense at death, the New Testament doctrine of the resurrection of the Christian dead when the Lord shall so come would be redundant if we were able to say of all departed saints that the resurrection is past already. If you're in heaven, they've already resurrected. They've already resurrected. They've already ascended.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.